Opinions expressed on this program are those of the host and do not reflect those of KVOR, Cumulus Media, or its advertisers.
I'm American made, but life serving late. My mama taught me wrong from right. I was born in the South. Sometimes I have a big mouth when I see something that I don't like. I gotta say it.
And I'm Michelle Morin here on AM 740 KVOR. So much to talk about tonight. I'm here to tell you what big media won't. And because they're so sloppy in their jobs anymore, there's just not enough time to tell you everything that there is. We're going to start tonight with, I want to do a shout out to our fellow citizens in Texas. Golly, they're saying this tropical storm Harvey continues to dump just trillions of gallons of water, and it's not stopping. The authorities don't have enough boats to get folks out of their flooded homes in Houston. It's a complete catastrophe. So, golly, you know, if it's not fires here in the Springs, it's hurricanes on the, you know, in the South or on the East Coast. And this is when we Americans need to band together and, boy, just support each other with prayer and real practical help. So, you know, if we can help Red Cross or whomever it takes to help out down there, let's do that. So anyway, on to the more political topics of the day and the week. Free speech. We're all racists because we can't exercise our free speech anymore for fear of being called racists. The entire narrative floating around in our nation is now designed to shut down truth. And it's always kind of been that way, but boy, is it not intensified now. And sadly, we've got GOP leaders participating in this. So it's everywhere. We're going to talk about our Colorado state GOP. They're holding a meeting, a very, very important meeting. On September 23rd, Anil Mathai has joined me on the program before. He's going to join us again this evening in just a few minutes. We're going to give you an update on how I'm going to call it a cause, a campaign. This is a cause, a campaign on my part and on Anil's part and on your part and on our behalf collectively to take back our Republican Party. This is a travesty what's unfolding in this state already as it is. It's already a blue state. And sadly, we have a GOP that is just totally caving to the blueness of it. And I'm going to give you some background on that. Last week on the show, we didn't have time to talk about something that happened here locally in the Springs. There was a group that was supposed to meet at the Cheyenne Mountain Conference Resort. I think it was going to be next spring or something like that. It was upcoming. The group was called V-Dare. And I don't know what V-Dare was about. I'm not sure anyone knows. If you do a search online for V-Dare, that was just pretty much the name of the conference. What I know about it is it was a group that focused intensely on immigration. And that's pretty much all I know. We have our mayor came out and spoke out against it. And kind of it sounded like he was using the threat of, well, you're not going to have any support from law enforcement if you host this. And that right there is my problem, that an elected official with power to coerce actually influenced this. Now, I don't have any issue with Cheyenne Mountain Conference Resort wanting to cancel the event. If they were uneasy with it, that's their call and that's their property and that's their thing. I'm fine with that. And, you know, if the local neighbors didn't like it and they want to put pressure on a business, that's the way it works. But what bothers me is the mayor came out and spoke against this group that we know nothing really about. Yet Antifa had staged a protest in our city, in Colorado Springs, last Sunday, the day I did my show, and I have yet to hear any statements from the same mayor speaking out against them meeting. So here we have a group that it is becoming so violent. The violence is escalating. They're calling for violence. We're going to talk about that more in the show tonight. They're so bad that there's now a movement to a petition online to petition the White House to deem Antifa a terrorist group because they are trying to use violent means to achieve their political ends. And I will go over that more in detail a little bit later in the show. It's serious stuff, my friends. They're not stopping. They're very indoctrinated. They really believe capitalism is inherently evil. And they call capitalism fascism. It's not fascism, but that's what they've called it since the 1920s, I have just discovered. They believe that capitalism is, or fascism is state-sanctioned capitalism, basically. And they truly believe that capitalism is the source of all evils, and they're very delusional about what who is oppressed and where they are oppressed. We'll talk about that more, but they're calling for more violence. My problem is, why is our mayor not talking about Antifa that has a proven history? And you can go online and find in it. You can go online and find out where what their plans are. They've got workshops to go after law enforcement. And all they're talking about arming up. This is not kid play. This is their rhetoric is ratcheting up. So anyway, in that same vein, we're going to go talk about Nancy Pelosi. There was this group in San Francisco that was going to meet Saturday, and they call themselves Patriot Prayer. I did a little research on them to see what I could find out. They seemed kind of, you know, to me they seemed benign, a little different. They seemed to integrate all kinds of different faiths. Looked like they had an Islamic speaker, looked like they had different minority speakers coming. But Nancy Pelosi spoke out against them, and the mayor did not want, you know, kind of spoke out against that group because they were concerned it was a white supremacist group. So this quote-unquote concern about white supremacists is becoming a real problem because now that's becoming a catch-all. And anyone who wants to advocate for free speech or prayer or anything that rings on the right side of the political spectrum, now the local elected officials can come out and say, well, this concerns us. This is kind of sounding like white supremacists, and we can't have a repeat of Charlottesville now, can we? So this group in San Francisco canceled their gathering because Antifa was coming in and all these other resistant groups were coming in. This is a real problem. This is a real problem. This is the anti-Trump, anti-conservative, anti-American narrative that's getting louder and louder. And it's not just those groups that are forming the narrative. It's not even just Democrat leadership that are joining in on the narrative. We have GOP joining in, too. And that's very problematic. It's almost, you know, you and I are getting thrown under the bus as conservatives. And, you know, when Charlottesville happened and President Trump would condemn both sides, he wouldn't just come out and condemn the white supremacists. Our GOP are all over him for it. And I've got some, Joe Biden came out and wrote this sanctimonious article in The Atlantic talking about how just framing our president as a complete racist, like he's the KKK. This is unconscionable. This is unconscionable lies against our president who never did any such thing. And I always say, it's not just against Trump. It's against you and I who voted for Trump. It's against us. They are throwing us under the bus. And then the GOP are jumping on board. Then we have Trump pardoned Sheriff Arpaio in Arizona. And I'm all for that. And we're going to talk about that, too. Senator John McCain came out with his pious sermon about how Trump's undermining the rule of law with that. Oh, my goodness. Every pardon, every commutation, in essence, is undermining the rule of law, right? So when we come back, we are going to talk about all of that and more. We're going to talk about how our First Amendment's under threat. And I think the underlying thing I'm going to be repeating tonight is stay rooted in reality. This whole racism bit, this is all intended to just create chaos and division. You and I have to stand firm because this is going to pass. And what's left is going to be you and me. We'll be back in a minute. We're going to talk to Anil Mathai about what's going on in our state GOP. And are we going to be thrown under the bus by our party or not when we come back here on AM 740 KVOR.
The things big media won't tell you.
He's trying to undermine the media, trying to make up his own facts so that he can actually control exactly what people think. And that is our job.
Yeah. With Michelle Marin on AM 740 KVOR.
So, our state GOP, are they going to throw you and me under the bus? Or are they going to keep unaffiliated voters out of our elections next year? Can you and I choose our Republican candidates? Or are the unaffiliateds going to come in and do that in an open primary? So I've got Anil Mathai on the line with us here. Anil Mathai is the GOP county chair for Adams County. And Anil came on the show 2 weeks ago. And we introduced this vote that's coming up. And I want to tell a story before we talk about the vote. All right. This just popped up on my screen this morning. And I want to set the stage here for why this vote on September 23rd by our state GOP is so critical. All right. So Colorado Politics published this article. It was today. And there is a city councilman here in Colorado Springs. His name is Tom Strand. And according to the article, Strand is going to enter the Republican primary for the 5th congressional district seat. Now, that's the seat that's held by current congressional House Rep Doug Lamborn, a Republican. And traditionally, that seat has been held by Republicans because our district is overwhelmingly Republican. And it's pretty easy to win that seat if you're a Republican. That's key. Now, Strand, in this article, it says he's a retired Air Force colonel, and he's a former member of the Colorado Springs School District 11 School Board. He has been a lifelong Democrat. Okay? He switched his registration to Republican last year. Then he became unaffiliated after the election. Then he re-registered with the GOP a month ago because he agrees with Republicans most often, he says, particularly on fiscal matters. Here's a quote from Councilman Strand. He says, "I believe in my heart that you can't win the 5th congressional district unless you're a Republican. And I believe in my heart my values align with the Republican values, especially how we spend our hard-earned tax dollars." Now, it says that Strand was a Democrat throughout his military career because his father had been a steward in a union in Cleveland where he grew up. He remained a Democrat on the city council and on the school board because, he says, quote, "it just kind of made sense because of at least the social issues, because I felt more strongly pulled in that direction, although not completely," unquote. Doesn't seem to know who he is from what I'm, you know, what I'm hearing here. But here's a kicker. According to Colorado Politics, after last fall's election, he felt heartsick over the choice between Clinton and Trump. So he changed his registration to unaffiliated, and he voted for Clinton. He said, "The November 16 election and how it played out just upset me so much, I thought I'm neither one. I'm not a Democrat. I'm not a Republican. I was not supportive of the nominee and now president. He's the president. I'm a military guy. I know how to salute the flag, and I want him to succeed, but I just After the November election, all the vitriolic things going on, I just felt, I can't do this. I did that not for a very long time until I realized, as unaffiliated, you have to be one of the two major parties if you're going to have a ghost of a chance of being successful. I'm not doing this for kicks. I've had two elections. I've won two elections. Okay. So that's the story I wanted you to hear. We have a House of Representatives seat, and we're going to be voting someone into that seat next year. Now, normally, in past years, as Republicans, you have the option of getting elected as a precinct leader and a delegate and going to the caucus, Republican caucus, and hearing all of the candidates speak. And at that grassroots level, that very Republican level, representative level, you and I could pick who we wanted to represent us in the general elections. And because Colorado passed Proposition 108 last year, now we have a choice. We can either allow unaffiliateds to vote in our primaries next year and pick our Republican candidates, or the state party on September 23rd can vote to say, no, we're not going to have those primaries. We're going to go back to the caucus system, and we're going to pick our own candidates. And here we have a case in point, a lifelong Democrat who doesn't seem to know what he really stands for, but he's come out and said, you can't win in this district unless you're Republican, so I'm going to jump on the Republican ticket. And I have, you know, read between the lines, I have a really good chance of getting elected here because in the open primaries, unaffiliateds can vote. All right. So, Anil, how are you doing?
I am well, Michelle.
Good.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Well, thanks for joining us again. I want you to just jump in where you feel the need to. You're very articulate. You're very educated on this process. You and I have talked about this. I set the stage here with an example as to why this upcoming vote is so important. Can you, in a nutshell, can you give my listener just a brief background on Prop 108, what the vote is on September 23rd, and why you know in your heart this has got to go the way of the caucus?
Well, let me just, before I even get started with that, Michelle, I like to say that at age 18, when I was allowed to vote, I registered as a Republican. I studied the platform and understood the positions, the principles that the Republican Party took, and they aligned with what I felt was my principles. Further, my parents were registered Democrats. My cousins, all my family members on the East Coast in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, which is 82% Democrat, they were all Democrats, and I have had good relationships with all my family members, but I knew what I had to stand for, and I believe that many of my family were misled, thinking that the Democrats were for the poor. Majority of our politics, whether it's here in Colorado or across the nation, many people do not know what they stand for, and that's why you have this confusion here. That's why you have this level of a candidate who has no problems being a registered Democrat, then all of a sudden had an epiphany here to register R, and when consistently throughout their history, they've shown that they were with the Democrats,
right,
including voting for their presidential candidate in November of last year.
Mm-hmm.
So we're at a crux here as the Colorado Republican Party. On September 23rd, they will be making a decision to either confirm what the so-called 172,000 voters in the affirmative for Prop 108, which was funded by a person. This is a bill that says that unaffiliated voters can vote in any party's primary for their candidate. And so right now, unaffiliated voters can come into the Republican Party or Democrat Party or Libertarian, and they can vote. They have to pick one, but they can vote for that party's nominee to the general election. And this has been done before in Prop 198 in California, and that was brought to the Supreme Court in 2000 by the California Democrat Party, and it was overruled. So this whole Prop 108 is unconstitutional,
mm-hmm,
from the get-go. But the parties have to make a decision, and our Central Committee for the Republican Party in the state meets on September 23rd. And the members of that Central Committee, if you get 75% of the Central Committee to vote to opt out, then the party votes to opt out, and you pick your candidates through the caucus and assembly process. But if they get less than 75%, then the party will opt in and allow those who are outside the party to pick their candidates.
Okay, and I'm going to stop you right there, Anil.
Sure.
That music means we're going to take a break. Mm-hmm. We're going to pick up where you left off. The Central Committee is going to take a vote to either stick with unaffiliated picking our candidates in the primaries or opting out of that so that we can caucus and pick our own. Mm-hmm. And it's a 75% vote required. When we come back, Anil is going to continue explaining this process, and we're going to tell you what you can do to influence this so that we don't get thrown under the bus and have a Democrat get voted into a Republican demographic and seat and take over this state even further. When we come back here on AM 740 KVOR on The Michelle Morin Show.
These are the things big media won't tell you with Michelle Morin on AM 740 KVOR.
All right, so this story that we're talking about right now, I can almost guarantee you no one else is talking about it. State GOP doesn't want anyone talking about it, so they're not going to be calling in to all the other hosts here and across the state trying to defend their position. But we've got a state GOP that sounds like it's going to throw you and me under the bus. Colorado is blue enough as it is, and the last thing we need is our party voting or not voting to get us back to a caucus system where we can keep our elected officials Republican. So it's, as I'm hearing myself talk, traditionally when you talk to the establishment Republicans, they always say, you know, just vote R, vote Republican. And we've got to beat the Dems, so you've just got to vote R. Well, because of Proposition 108 and the story I told this last segment, that is going to morph into, well, gosh, you don't even hold a chance to vote R because Democrats are just going to come in and fill our seats. I told the story of, I'm going to just go through it very briefly again. We have in Colorado Springs a city councilman. His name is Tom Strand. He's been a lifelong Democrat. And he, when he talks, I'm reading from Colorado Politics. You can look this article up yourself. It's on coloradopolitics.com. And look, do a search on Tom Strand. It's spelled like it sounds. And he's been a registered Democrat throughout his military career. He's an Air Force guy. And he voted for Hillary Clinton in the last election. And he's gone from being a lifelong Democrat to a Republican to an unaffiliated to now he's throwing in his hat to run against Representative Lamborn for our House Representative CD5 seat here in Colorado. That's an easy Republican win. Why? Because this is a heavy Republican demographic in that district. Well, because we passed Prop 108 in the general election last year, we're going to open primaries where unaffiliateds can vote, and exactly what we knew would happen is already happening. We have provided a gravy train for Democrats to come in and try to take over a traditionally Republican seat in the U.S. House of Representatives. He can just go in and he can count on unaffiliateds and Democrats that change to unaffiliated to come in and vote him into this seat. And our Colorado State GOP could stop this on September 20. Well, Anil, I'm just going to hand this over to Anil at this point. We've got Anil Mathai on the phone. He is the GOP county chair for Adams County here in Colorado. And Anil's kind of leading the charge on trying to spark the fire and get this, get you and me and everybody we know engaged in this so that we can contact our GOP Central Committee before 9/23 and make sure that we opt out of the open primaries. So Anil, you're back with us. I'm going to just kind of hand the mic over to you and ask you to kind of run with what the details of why this is so important and kind of summarize where you went with last segment, because we've probably got new people tuned in now.
Sure. I think the first thing to do is those of us who live in homeowners association, HOA neighborhoods, it's like we live in the neighborhood. The best way to explain is we live in the neighborhood, and there's a law that was passed by a, quote, citizen initiative that people outside the neighborhood want to come in, want to vote on our issues within our neighborhood. Well, they're welcome to just come in to move into the neighborhood. That's totally fine. And as a neighbor, fellow neighbor, they have that right to vote within our issues within our neighborhood. But they don't want to move in. They just want to vote and dictate to us what we should be doing at a conclusion for our HOA. And that's the same situation that just happened here. Prop 108, which was funded by Kent Theory, the CEO of DaVita, was an initiative to try to, a proposition that was trying to, quote, let the voice of the unaffiliated or the, quote, independents be heard. No one forced an unaffiliated or an independent person to leave the Republican Party. They did that out of their own volition. And because of that, they want to stay out of the neighborhood, but at the same time be involved in the decisions of the neighborhood.
That's a good picture.
And that's exactly what's happening here. We want unaffiliated, which, quote, are called independents, to be involved in the Republican Party, review our platform, review our principles, and register as a Republican. If you go to govotecolorado.com, it takes less than 5 minutes to change your registration here in the state of Colorado. But they don't want to do that. Further, the one who financed this whole proposition that passed by 172,000 votes totally, 50,000 of which came from Denver, that passed this proposition about 3-4 months ago, he changed his registration to Republican. How ironic.
It's
very consistent. Why would you want to become a Republican when you said that the unaffiliated and you passed this would be working to your advantage? And the reality is wanting to water down the principles of the party, expand it, dilute it, and then take over run for governor or whatever role that he wanted to do. So This is the situation. We are in an HOA situation, and every person who lives in a neighborhood, if you're now being dictated to by people from outside the neighborhood, you're either going to A, listen, most people will not, and B, you'll leave the neighborhood because your voice just becomes worthless.
And
you live in the neighborhood. So Prop 108 is the issue, and it is going to be dealt with on September 23rd with the Republican Party, and they have to decide. Again, they have to have a 75% minimum threshold. They have to have that to opt out of Prop 108. And that threshold, I'm surprised it wasn't 99%. If he would have put 99% in that prop, he would have gotten that. But that threshold was to other people outside the party telling us what we can do. And so now we're stuck with a 75% threshold. You don't even get that in most meetings for a quorum.
Yeah.
So it's already kind of sort of like a done deal. But the thing here is, does the First Amendment apply? Do people want to stand up for the First Amendment? If we do not want to, regardless of political parties, then we've lost our state. We lost our nation. The Republican Party is going to try to sell itself and why people should vote for it in 2018. Many people have already walked out in regards to local elections this year, Michelle. And so the party has a House and a Senate and a presidency in Washington, D.C., and to date they haven't passed bills. You know, the president did a great thing, in my view, of pardoning Sheriff Arpaio down in Arizona. Mm-hmm. And you get the Speaker of the House and the Senate Majority Leader challenging him on that. The party is in disarray. Party thinks that it'll win by raising money. Money is very important, but the bottom line is people are going to either support truth or they're going to reject lies. And the party thinks that money is going to be the way to go. And this way, it's going to go forward. If they do decide to stay with Prop 108, I fear that the Republican Party will be done.
Yeah. Well, so the vote's September 23rd, and we're still encouraging folks to contact their local GOP. And I'm going to give the El Paso County GOP contact info right now. If you're in the El Paso County area and you want to influence this vote, call the El Paso County GOP at 719-578-0022. 578-0022, and ask to speak with the chairman, the vice chairman, and the secretary, and then ask for contact information for the bonus members, because they make up the large majority of the central committee, and ask them to opt out of Prop 108. And if you want to contact the state GOP, I have a number for that too. That number is 303-758-3333. And I'll be giving these numbers out a couple more times later in the show. If you missed it, you can always go to the website, Colorado GOP, and you can go to your county's GOP website. And all of that comes out of the state GOP website. It all just kind of branches out. So everything is on that site. But can you tell the listener, Anil, exactly how to contact these folks? What arm my listener with what to say and how to approach this?
Yeah, the first thing is, especially with the counties that have bonus members like El Paso and other counties, I would reach out to the bonus members, and they're members of the state central committee, and ask them how they plan to vote on this. Are they going to opt in and support Prop 108 or opt out? And then respectfully petition that they should vote to opt out and the reasons why. And again, no one is dealing with this issue, but this is an unconstitutional issue. Further, the state party chairman, who a year ago, as your county party chairman, has on public record through the Gazette stated that he was against caucus, and he stated that he is for primary. And that's fine. That's his position. But I would say that you take a look at the East Coast and the West Coast states where they're all primary, and I can tell you who's in full control of their political system, and it's not the Republican Party.
Right.
Further, again, when I say it's unconstitutional, I would ask the voters to understand that it was the California Democrat Party that sued against Prop 198 in California, and it went to the Supreme Court in 2000, and in a 7-2 decision with Antonin Scalia writing the opinion, it was said that 198 was unconstitutional. And people can look at the opinion of the court. It's on the website. But this is a fundamental issue. Do we have the right to associate in groups, and do we have the right to speak, and do we have the right to petition government as a group? We see throughout society today they're telling people who's the racist, who's the haters, and keeping people quiet. And that's the end game here, is that this, if it's passed through, will shut down the voice of the grassroots, and we'll return all the voice back to big money. And big money supports big government. And the party will be speaking in one side of its mouth on so-called platform. It doesn't even do that anymore.
Yeah.
We don't vet candidates anymore. Just like you said with that councilman down there, it's as long as someone has an R behind their name, we call them Republican. That doesn't mean anything. That's why people are leaving the party and or disgusted with the party, because the party is not standing for truth. So hopefully the Central Committee will come to its senses and vote against opting into Prop 108. And then we can explain to unaffiliates and others what our party is, and we want them involved.
I think that's very wise. The meeting is September 23rd. Do you know where it is, and can outsiders attend? Can anybody attend?
The meeting starts at 8:30 a.m. on Saturday, September 23rd, at Colorado Finest High School of Choice. That's the name of the place. It's in Inglewood, up near Denver. The meeting starts again at 8:30. The doors open 7. I do not know if non-state central committee members can come inside. I would hope that they would for all registered Republicans.
Okay.
But that would be something that people would have to contact the state party directly. I have no authority of that.
Okay. All right. Well, we will check back with you next week, Anil, and we'll just keep talking about this until this vote is taken. And it doesn't look good, but you know what? We're going to keep pushing forward and try to bring some awareness to this. And I'm going to continue giving out the number for folks to call. And I thank you so much for your dedication and your service in the Adams County Party as the chair, and for your firm adherence to constitutional conservative principles, Anil. Thank you so much for calling in again, and we will talk to you next week.
Same to you, Michelle. Thanks for standing. Appreciate everything you're doing.
Thanks, Anil. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, so there you have it. The state party phone number for the GOP is 303-758-3333. And here in El Paso County, the number is 719-578-0022. Please get on the horn and contact these folks. There's so much at stake. I don't know why we would have a reason to be involved in the Republican Party if they do not opt out of this primary, open primary. We'll talk more about that when we come back. And so much more. Antifa, the terrorists that are intimidating everybody, the racism, hype, on and on and on. But we'll be back to tell you more about what big media won't here on AM 740.
These are the things big media won't tell you.
He's trying to undermine the media, trying to make up his own facts so that he can actually control exactly what people think. And that is the our job.
Yeah.
With Michelle Morin on AM 740 KVOR.
Yeah, big media thinks it's their job to control what you think. And I respect you as an individual with a mind, and you can come up with your own opinions and research and analysis. And that's why I'm here. All right, so we're going to, I'll repeat the numbers for the county GOP, El Paso County, and the state GOP throughout the show, because I really want you to get engaged and help get this, you know, light the fire under these guys. Don't quit turning us over to the left. But speaking of the left, have you ever seen so many attacks against you and me and what we believe in your lifetime? I haven't. It's crazy. We're all Nazis now. If we don't toe the line of the left, you're a Nazi, or you're a racist. If you're white, you're just a racist. You're just flat out a racist because you've got white privilege. And we have had 10 demands of what we need to do if we are white. And I'm going to read those to you. These are incredible. Give up your property to a black or brown family. I'm not kidding. This is not a joke. Not a joke at all. And Antifa. And it's not just Antifa coming, you know, trying to intimidate us. Now we've got congressmen trying to intimidate us. And Jason looks like he wants to say something. Jason, what are you chomping at the bit?
Who said I need to give up my property about? What is this? I need to give up my property?
A Black Lives Matter leader. Her name is, why don't we just go into that? Let's just talk about this. Chanel Helm is part of Black Lives Matter in Louisville, all right? And she's come up with a list of 10 demands. 10 demands because of white people. I'm just going to get into this here. She has written 10 demands of all of the white people in America. Now, Jason, you're a minority.
But I look white.
But
look white. Does that make any difference? If I look white, does it still apply?
You might be exempt from this list.
Maybe I'm visually white, but I'm internally minority, so it's like maybe it's 50-50.
Maybe so. Well, maybe you'll have to do half of this.
Okay.
So here are some of the demands. This is, I wonder what's happening to the minds of people, and this will tell you. First demand, this is from Black Lives Matter, and her name is Chanel Helm. Number one, white people, if you don't have any descendants, will your property to a black or brown family, preferably one that lives in generational poverty. Number two, white people, if you're inheriting property you intend to sell upon acceptance, give it to a black or brown family. You're bound to make that money in some other white privileged way.
Oh, I forgot. Yeah.
I'm not commenting. I'm just quoting. So this, I'm not adding commentary. That's what she said. Number three, if you are a developer or realty owner of multifamily housing, build a sustainable complex in a black or brown blighted neighborhood and let black and brown people live in it for free.
They are very focused on property and land.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm noticing that.
And that's interesting because the roots of communism are to not allow private property ownership. So just keep that in tucked in your back pocket because the hypocrisy is, you know, rampant. All right, number four, white people. If you can, it's funny how she addresses white people as white people. If I said hey, black people,
I have 10 rules for black people. Oh man,
oh gosh, golly. Okay, number four, white people. If you can afford to downsize, give up the home you own to a black or brown family, preferably a family from generational poverty.
They're very focused in on homes and land. That is very strange to me.
Five, white people, if any of the people you intend to leave your property to are racists, a-holes, change the will, and will your property to a black or brown family, preferably a family from generational poverty.
So, does she define what a racist a-hole is?
No. No, not in this list.
Okay.
Six, white people, rebudget your monthly so you can donate to black funds for land purchasing. Seven, white people, especially white women, oh, here's me, because this is y'all's specialty, nosy Jenny and meddling Kathy, get a racist fired. Y'all know what the blank they be saying. You are complicit when you ignore them. Get your boss fired because they are racist, too.
Oh, so you have a duty to get people fired.
I do.
It is your job.
I do. Look out. Look out. Good thing you're a minority.
I'm a minority. You can't do it.
Look out, man. Number eight. Backing up number seven, this should be easy, but all those sheetless Klan Nazis and other little blank white men will all be returning to work. Get they blank fired. Call the police even. They look suspicious.
I just love the blatant racism to help racism.
I know. It's very sad. Number nine, okay, backing up number eight, if any white person at your work or as you enter in spaces and you overhear a white person praising the actions from yesterday, first get a pic, get their name and more info. Hell, find out where they work, get them fired, but certainly address them, and if you need to, you got hands, use them.
Oh, so advocating violence,
Yeah, that's a thing now. Number 10, commit to two things, fighting white supremacy where and how you can. This doesn't mean taking up knitting unless you're making scarves for black and brown kids in need and funding black and brown people in their work. I'm not making this up. I am not making this up. If, like I said, if I had written something like this, oh my goodness,
The double standard is very obvious to many people, and it's just accepted like it's normal.
Okay, so we've got a lot to talk about. Racism, we're all racists, yada, yada. That's the big thing right now. My encouragement to you is this is going to pass. I don't know how long it's going to last. I don't know how long all these attacks are going to last. The useful idiots, like we just read, who are trying to enforce the leftist agenda, they're going to come and go. Reality's going to hit them in the face. No, they're not going to get our property. No, unless they pull themselves up by their own bootstraps and actually take advantage of the capitalist system they were blessed to be born into. And I can hear them screaming now, blessed to be born into that evil capitalism. Unless they do that, There's this warning, watch out, but also, come on, this is just a faux narrative, and I am encouraging you to stay strong. This is not about racism, and we all know it. We all know it. It's so inherently ridiculous. We all know it. This is about creating chaos. This is a Saul Alinsky tactic. It's the leftist tactic. It's the de facto tactic. They cannot break us apart if we're unified. And we're going to talk about unity. There's this whole twist on unity, too. The unity ticket? Oh, wow. When we come back, we've got so much to talk about. Stand strong, and we'll be back here on AM 740 KVOR on The Michelle Morin Show.
The things big media won't tell you.
Trying to make up his own facts, and that is our job.
Yeah. The Michelle Morin Show.
All right, so we talked about, I talk about a lot of things, especially when big media won't tell you. There's so much to tell you. But I want to just keep, there's a couple things I want to remind you of tonight. Number one, call your county GOP and ask them, the leadership and the bonus members, to opt out of Prop 108. And the number, I'm going to give you that now, the state GOP number is 303-758-3333. And for here, those of us here in El Paso County, the number is 719-578-0022. The vote is September 23rd. That is the day that the state GOP votes to either opt into the Prop 108 or opt out, allowing you and me to pick our candidates instead of the unaffiliateds. If they Do not opt out of Prop 108. We're done. We're done. I don't know what reason there would be to stay in the GOP. I will reassess my thinking then. But for now, let's fight for our constitutional republic as it is here in our state, and not give in to the left in that way. So, if you missed the first hour of the broadcast, please go to the KVOR website and listen to the podcast after the show is over. You'll get some great information about what's going on with the state GOP and why you need to get involved. All right. The other theme that I want to reiterate is this, we're all racist and we're all Nazis. And golly, if you don't toe the line on the left, you're this, that, or the other. And this is going to pass. This is a painful time we're experiencing. But something to remember is, united we stand, divided we fall. And all this racism, yada, 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 Nazism, all this stuff, it's not even that old, really. It's very, very heightened right now. It's very, very frenzied. The narrative is frenzied. Monuments are getting torn down. And ridiculous things are being said by people in all parties. Antifa is increasing its calls for violence. I'm going to tell you about that. But just take a breath and let's just stay grounded in reality. It's not about you and me being a racist. They say the most ridiculous things to identify you or me as a racist. You can't argue with these people. It's arguing with a brick. You already know the truth, and they're not going to succumb to truth. It's all lies. But the way the left can hurt our constitutional republic and what the left is doing right now, very concentrated, is to divide us and to scare us, intimidate you and me into thinking that, oh my gosh, if I don't toe the line, I'm going to be called a racist. Who cares? I don't even care. I'm not a racist. And, you know, my God and I know that. And it just drives them crazy that I don't answer to them. It drives them crazy that you don't answer to them. And let them go crazy. This is going to pass. The useful idiots that are on the ground causing the trouble have no clue what they're talking about. We've got some audio to prove that. We'll play some of that in a little bit. I want to talk about Antifa a little bit. They have a new cell in Philadelphia, and they're calling for increased violence, particularly against the police. This is problematic. I'm a big supporter of law enforcement, and they've got groups called, workshops. Workshops to Enemies in Blue workshops. The Enemies in Blue workshops, they specifically deal with how to handle police during a violent altercation. And they openly call for violence against police where convicted felons are held up for emulation. And I'm getting my information from a variety of sources here. Various Antifa sites, one of them is called It's Going Down, Submedia, Insurrection News. They've already promoted this as a revolutionary abolitionist movement. And the acronym is RAM. I hate giving them free airtime to promote, or not promote, to expose what they're doing. But you need to know what's going on. It's not, times have changed really, really quickly. I want to read to you a press release from the Revolutionary Abolitionist Movement. It's called RAM Philly. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but here's an excerpt. The struggle in the U.S. seems like an unrelenting weight being pushed down on revolutionary forces. But that same force has been bearing down on criminalized communities for decades with no reprieve. Now listen to this. This is what Antifa is saying about America. Quote, mosques are being ruthlessly bombed. State agencies and vigilante groups are deporting Latino people with relentless vigor. LGBTQ people are being battered. And the destruction of black life continues unabated as millions languish in the plantations of the modern-day slave system. Oh, Jason can't help himself anymore. He's got to say something.
I don't wish that I could understand what they were talking about. I just don't. Where do they see that happening?
Well, they're delusional. I have this book. I mentioned it last week. It's an old book written in the 1920s, 1930s. It's out of print because it exposed too much about the communists. But there's this, if the left can keep the delusion going that you and I as capitalists are inherently evil and suppressing the underdog, that's where the fuel comes from. And I don't know. Why do they believe? Look around. This is the most prosperous. I mean, I don't.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, any person who stops to even think about what they're saying could look at anything and go, yeah, that's not true.
Well, LGBTQ people are being battered. Really?
Yeah.
I have not heard of a single. Can someone please call in and tell me that an LGBTQ person has been battered in the United States? Number here is 719-540-0740. Tell me if I'm wrong.
As a counter to that, I'm sure it probably has happened. Some in some dark alley in some random part in the United States. Yes, I'm sure that happened. Is it a national like wave? No, that's not an acceptable thing to do.
No. Well, what about mosques being ruthlessly bombed?
The last mosque I remember being burned was in Canada, if I remember right.
I don't even remember that.
Yeah, it was it was right after the London Bridge attacks in what, March?
Oh.
That was the last time I remember. I remember even hearing about a mosque, and it wasn't even here.
Yeah. Well, if anyone knows, you know, clue me in. Maybe I'm in this little tiny sphere, and the revolutionary abolitionist movement knows, you know, so much more about what's going on than we do.
You would
right?
think that we're in the heartland of all the racist bigots right. and everything, because right. California, New York, oh, they're bastions of light and glory and all of that. They're the safe havens for all of this. So you'd think we would know more than they would.
Yeah. Well, continuing with the revolutionary abolitionist movement press release, quote, immersed in the struggle. Oh, the destruction of black life continues unabated as millions languish in the plantations of the modern-day slave system. But now, any of you out there who are Antifa or who agree with this, call me and explain to me what the plantation of the modern-day slave system is. Please. I'm not seeing it. So call me and educate me and my listeners because we're not seeing it. If any of you know of it, the lines are open. Let us know. Continuing in the press release, immersed in these struggles against the state and its white supremacist militias, we are developing the capacity to liberate ourselves and others. We fight side by side with those facing state and reactionary violence. And with each person we free from captivity, the stronger we grow. As demonstrated by our resistance in Charlottesville, we will not cede one inch of ground to racists. I was going to do fill in the blank and have you. We should play that game. I can read these and we do fill in the blank. Is it racist?
You could chop out half those words and just put in racist or Nazi and it would still make sense.
Yes.
According to them, they'd be like, oh, yeah.
Because if you don't toe the line, you're all the same.
Yeah. If you're white, you are a racist.
Okay. So as each new collective forms, they say, we begin to create new political realities. And continue the march together against white supremacy and for a dignified world. Yada, 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 yada. All right, so these are the people who are doing our Enemies in Blue workshops. And I was thinking about all this violence and these calls. And, you know, we did have an Antifa protest or gathering or what do you want to call it? A rally, that's the word, a week ago Sunday here in the Springs. And our mayor said nothing against it. Not a thing. Yeah, our mayor influenced the obliteration of something called VDARE, which I still don't know anything about. That's not the mayor's job. It's not. But if he's gonna start interfering in
If he's gonna
one,
do it one way, then why can't he make it an equal opportunity disruption?
There you go. Very good, Jason. So anyway, where am I going with this? Racism. There's so many different places to go with this. Racism. Before I get to the racism piece, because I don't know if you knew this, But the eclipse, did you see the eclipse Monday? Wasn't that the most incredible thing?
I wish I would have been in the actual, like, dead zone area. That would have been really cool to be in.
Well, guess what? You're a racist because you liked it.
Because I wish I could have been there?
Right. I'm going to explain that. We have a professor who is claiming that the solar eclipse was a racist event. I'm not kidding. I'm not making this stuff up. Somebody's going to think this is the Onion Show. But it's not. I'm telling you what's really going out there in the world. What is really going on is scary, but there's a petition online asking the White House to recognize Antifa as a terrorist group. They started on August 17. As of today, it has 309,000 signatures.
How many signatures does it need?
100,000 is what they were looking
for. Oh, well, okay. Yeah. Well, then
I don't know what it needs, but they were looking for 100,000. So if you want to sign the petition and get this group recognized as a terrorist group, I don't see why not. If they're going to throw urine-filled bottles at us and all this other stuff and try to intimidate people, I have no problem with this at all. This is not how you achieve your ends, and that's what the left does. So, anyway, I'm going to tell you why the solar eclipse was racist. I'm not kidding. And we're going to talk more about that when we come back, and so much more. We've got the Kumbaya Unity ticket that's been floated out there, and that's going to be fun when we come back.
The things big media won't tell you with Michelle Marin on AM 740 KVOR.
So I don't know if you heard the last segment. I got to frame Jason as a racist. I asked him if he saw the solar eclipse and if he liked it. And he's like, yeah, I wish I'd been like right under it. Got him. All right.
Dang it.
The Atlantic. A lot of stuff comes
up. Before you go into it, I want to guess. Is the eclipse racist because the moon is white?
No.
Dang it. Okay.
No.
Carry on.
No, it's not. Good try, though.
Well, I'm just trying to reach for any insane possibility. Oh, no. Anything that's white has to be racist.
This is better.
Okay.
This is like analysis.
Oh, they went really into it.
Okay. They did. All right. So, did you enjoy the eclipse? I loved it. I loved the dim. I loved the cool. It was amazing. The crickets, all that. I wasn't in an area where the totality occurred. I was here in the Springs. Yeah,
neither was. I wish I would have been there. That would have been really cool.
It would have been cool. It's funny because I couldn't figure out why municipalities were saying they're going to run out of water and all that. Now I know why. People really did flock to the totality location.
Well, I think what they had like 500,000 people on the highway that day. And they usually have like nobody.
Yeah, something crazy like that. So maybe next time I'll do that. Who knows? So in the Atlantic, we've got a lot of stuff from the Atlantic tonight. We find out that the eclipse was racist. There is a university professor. Her name is Alice Ristroff of Brooklyn Law School. Okay. So she's really smart because she's a professor at a law school. All right. She's talking about how this eclipse was it had implicit bias and it's had it out for minorities. I'm just going to read what she wrote.
Does she believe that the eclipse had a mind of its own?
Well, let me tell you, speaking along those lines, CNN had a little article about the eclipse. And I can't find it right now. I'll find it in a moment. CNN basically opened up the article with, no, it's not fake news, it's real news, which was kind of interesting. And then, I'm going to paraphrase here, they said, this is a celestial event and you can't control it. And it explained it, and it was kind of interesting to hear big media. It almost had the tone of, doggone it, you can't control it. And we're so close to convincing the world that climate change is in our power. If we could just control the celestial.
If they could have connected climate change and the eclipse, holy cow.
Oh, shh.
Somebody's brain would have melted at CNN.
That. Don't give them ideas.
Well, it only happens once every 100 years, so they have 100 years to write that story up.
Well, here's the beginning of it. On August 21st, 2017, says this professor, Alice Ristroff, a total solar eclipse will arrive mid-morning on the coast of Oregon. It has been dubbed the Great American Eclipse, and along most of its path, there live almost no black people. Presumably, This is not explained by the implicit bias of the solar system.
Okay.
She goes on. Oregon, where this begins, is almost entirely white. Okay, I have to interject. Do you know how many... I'm going to be called a racist after this show. I was called a racist after last week's show. It's really going to hit hard this time.
Well, yeah, you like the solar eclipse, so obviously.
Well, and I'm using this voice to, you know...
Anybody who thinks that a celestial event has a mind of its own, no.
All right, she continues. The 10% or so of state residents who do not identify as white are predominantly Latino, American Indian, Alaskan, or Asian. There are very few black Oregonians. From Oregon, the Great American Eclipse will travel through Idaho and Wyoming. It will catch a tiny unpopulated piece of Montana, too. Percentage-wise, Idaho and Wyoming are even whiter than Oregon. And as in Oregon, but even more so, the few non-white residents of Idaho and Wyoming are not black. They are mostly Latino, American Indian, and Alaskan.
So
I'm not making this up.
Let me just stop there for a second. She's implying that you're not racist unless you only hate black people, because it was going against Native Americans. Native Americans were there. Latinos were there. That's not good enough. Didn't have enough black people, and that's what makes it racist.
You're right. What? So you don't count.
Oh, yeah, I'm obviously.
You don't count.
I'm just not minority enough.
All right, she goes on. After Wyoming, the eclipse will go through Nebraska, Kansas, and Missouri. The total eclipse will be visible from Lincoln, Nebraska, the state's capital, which reports a black population of 3.8%. The city of Omaha has a greater black population, about 14%. It's home to many of the refugees from Africa and elsewhere that Nebraska has welcomed in recent years, many of whom now work in slaughterhouses and meat packing plants. She threw that in there.
Oh, okay.
But Omaha is about 50 miles northeast of the path of totality. We tend to backlight our history and so run the risk of trying to recover a glory that never existed. When the light in August changes, watch carefully. Now, was that deep or what?
That was a lot of searching and reaching for as hard as she could. Like, well, there's a lot of Latinos and Native Americans there, so we'll just focus on black people.
Well, this...
And even black people, 14%?
Yeah.
That doesn't seem like a minority. That seems like a good percentage to me.
Well, apparently not.
Not good enough.
This kind of lends itself to the white privilege, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Because just because the solar system... revolves around
us.
White people, then you have white privilege.
We are so privileged. The solar system bows down to us and gives us an eclipse.
Oh, Jason, you just gave them their narrative.
Are you kidding? Yes, we can control the solar system. That's how much privilege we have.
There you have it. So the world's gone crazy. The world has totally gone crazy.
That is way more in depth. I thought it was going to be a surface level. The moon's white. That's why it's racist.
No.
They put a lot of work into finding the racism there.
And let's go over to California. USC has a mascot that is a white horse. And
it's racist?
It's a racist symbol.
Because it's white?
Well, it doesn't say it's because it's white. They're actually saying the horse's name is Traveler. Well, guess what? That was also the name of Confederate General Robert E. Lee's horse.
Oh, Lord.
This is from Fox News. The name was called out recently by a leader of the USC Black Student Assembly at a rally following the Charlottesville riots. Says this, at the rally, according to the student newspaper, The Daily Trojan, Sophia Jackson, co-director of the USC Black Student Assembly, asked students not to be quiet and reminded that white supremacy hits close to home and referenced the name of the Trojan's mascot. The Black Student Assembly did not respond to requests for comment, but questions about the name's provenance have increased on social media in the midst of the national discussion on race. So I guess this horse is ridden on the field by a Trojan warrior. So, oh my gosh, we've lost it.
Yeah, that is, you were reaching for the... Mm-hmm. The name itself is racist.
The name. Yeah, we're... There's... It's hopeless.
Well,
it's,
thank God that horse was not named Jason.
So So they're looking for a civil war. And my friends, this is so ridiculous. We're going to talk about standing strong when we get back.
The things big media won't tell you with Michelle Marin on AM 740 KVOR.
All right, we've been kind of busting on the whole racism narrative for a couple segments. Let's go over to the pardon, the Sheriff Arpaio pardon. President Trump, fortunately, did pardon Arizona Sheriff Arpaio. And the left's just all over this, and so is the GOP. Good golly. I cannot. We talked about it at the beginning. Why do I harp on the GOP so badly? Because they are supposed to be defending what you and I believe. They're supposed to be defending our constitutional republic. They're supposed to be standing for the principles, the 11 principles that Anil Mathai has outlined on this show that are on the National Party platform, and they're not. They are jumping on the bandwagon with the Democrats to try to undermine our president, who you and I voted for, and set him up for impeachment and get him out in 2018. It is pathetic. It is unconscionable. It is, I need vocabulary words to keep explaining it. So, the president pardons Sheriff Arpaio. And I want to go into a discussion about jurisdictions of the sheriff versus what Obama and Obama's Justice Department did to him. I may try to find somebody who understands that topic about the jurisdictions that sheriffs have. Sheriffs are supposed to be able to protect you and me from overreach of the federal government. And they're very independent in their ability to do what they do. And I'm not going to say much more about it, but Arpaio was basically getting rid of illegals and doing a fine job of it. And the Obama justice system hung him for it. So Trump pardoned him for it. And let me just remind you, President Obama, when I came into the studio tonight, I tried to find out how many pardons President Obama issued, and I have 22 pages of pardons. And then I thought, boy, that doesn't seem like enough. And Jason reminded me it's commutations that were the big thing. So I went over and I looked, and there were over 300 pages of commutations that President Obama issued. And he commuted the sentence of, remember, Chelsea Manning, the traitor of the United States? Chelsea Manning. How much outrage did you hear from big media and Dems and GOP about Chelsea Manning? How many?
Well, I want to specifically point out one in particular.
Who's that?
Where was Senator McCain during Chelsea Manning, especially being a POW?
Exactly.
You think that would kind of trigger him a little bit more than usual.
Yes, you would.
You would think.
You certainly would, because he's this decorated prisoner of war. Well, we got to hear from, I'm going to call him Pastor McCain.
Oh, okay.
I'm in this mood where the piety of these people is driving me insane. So they're all self-righteous pastors now. And I'm being very sarcastic, so pardon me. But McCain came out, and he just had to blast Trump over the pardon. He said, quote, this is John McCain. Mr. Arpaio was found guilty of criminal contempt for continuing to illegally profile Latinos living in Arizona based on their perceived immigration status in violation of a judge's orders. The president has the authority to make this pardon, but doing so at this time undermines his claim for the respect of rule of law, as Mr. Arpaio has shown no remorse for his actions, unquote. All right. His big thing was, it undermines Trump's claim for the respect for the rule of law. You know what I say to that? Every pardon, every commutation, in essence, undermines the rule of law. It undermines the judicial system and process that led to the sentencing of the accused, and it shows zero respect for for the rule of law that led to that accused going to prison in the first place or being sentenced. So, Mr. McCain, Senator McCain, your pious attempt to try to frame Trump as, you know, not respecting the rule of law, it's pshaw, it's baloney, it's whatever you want to call it, it's bunk. Where were you when President Obama pardoned Chelsea Manning? Where were you? Where was the outrage over that?
To be specific, he didn't pardon Chelsea.
Commuted. Yes.
There's a big difference, and you just don't want people to go crazy. It's a different thing.
Yes,
commuting is different.
I meant to say that. So where were you? And I was talking to Jason before the show started. It doesn't matter what Trump does. Everything he does is going to be perceived as racist, wrong, anti-American, yada, yada, yada. We've even got, let's go to the big media side of the house. Washington Post's Catherine Rampell, she's not someone I've ever heard of before, but she did go on MSNBC on Friday and went on a rant about the pardon. And I want you to hear her words of wisdom about what Trump did and what that means. Just let her say it, and we'll just bust on it when she's done.
I have to say that, you know, there was all this stuff about the Arpaio pardon going into the Phoenix rally, and there was all this reporting, and then Sarah Huckabee Sanders said, no, we're not going to do anything on it. And I think I came to believe that they weren't going to do it. And then he sort of promised to do it. He sort of had a kind of almost Pontius Pilate-esque moment before the crowd where he said, well, what should I do with Joe Arpaio? I still didn't believe it was going to happen. Are you surprised that he did it?
No. If there was any doubt in anyone's mind that law and order was code for making it easier to harass people of color, this is confirmation. I would also point out that this is a direct attack on our Constitution and on the independence of our federal judiciary.
Stop the presses. This is a direct attack on our Constitution and on the independence of our federal judiciary. Really? Words of wisdom from big media. All of a sudden, they care about our Constitution.
And were they saying that for the 300-odd people that Barack Obama?
Oh, it was more than 300 people. It was 300 times however many people were on each page.
Thousands. It's like thousands of people.
Yes, it was thousands. Okay, so big media is trying to put us in our place and tell us this was an unconstitutional move. Senator McCain is saying this undermines the rule of law. Where were they when President Obama did this? I just want to know, where were they? It doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. Just like when President Trump came out and blasted both sides in Charlottesville, that doesn't matter either. In fact, I'm going to read to you what our former Vice President Joe Biden had to say about it. Oh, wow. Again, from The Atlantic. Joe Biden wrote a piece, and the title is We Are Living Through a Battle for the Soul of This Nation, from Joe Biden. I'm not going to bore you with the whole thing, but he stages the article. It's about Charlottesville. And he says, if it wasn't clear before, it's clear now. We are living through a battle for the soul of this nation. The giant forward steps we've taken in recent years on civil liberties and civil rights and human rights are being met by a ferocious pushback.
Really? So all the... okay, keep going.
From the oldest and darkest forces in America. And he goes on. Here's what he says about Trump. This is Joe Biden in The Atlantic. Quote, today we have an American president who has publicly proclaimed a moral equivalency between neo-Nazis and Klansmen and those who would oppose their venom and hate. We have an American president who has emboldened white supremacists with messages of comfort and support. Biden continues, this is a moment for this nation to declare what the president can't with any clarity, consistency, or conviction. There is no place for these hate groups in America. Hatred of blacks, Jews, immigrants, all who are seen as the other, won't be accepted or tolerated or given safe harbor anywhere in this nation. At the end, he concludes, joined together, we are more than 300 million strong. Joined together, we will win this battle for our soul. Because if there's one thing I, Joe Biden, know about the American people, it's this: when it's mattered most, they've never let this nation down. Oh, gosh, where?
It feels like at the end of that article, he was going to announce his presidential run for 2020. Really?
To bring us together. You know, that is going to be the rally cry now, is the unity thing. And I have... get that music going.
Okay.
And I'll tell you why. There's been rumor that there's going to be a unity ticket. And it's since been debunked, but it's really worth bringing to light, because who knows? Ohio Governor John Kasich, Colorado Governor John Hickenlooper, this is from CNN, have entertained the idea of forming a unity presidential ticket to run for the White House in 2020. Cue the music, please, Jason. Oh, this is our kumbaya moment. John Kasich, a Republican. John Hickenlooper, a Democrat. They're going to run as independents with Kasich at the top of the ticket. The idea of a joint ticket to bring this country together. All right, it's been debunked. Supposedly, Kasich and Hickenlooper have come out and said, no, we're not doing that. But it's still, this is what we're going to be hearing about. The kumbayas, the unity ticket. Can you imagine Kasich and Hickenlooper?
Do you think that's actually true? Do you think they came out and debunked it for real? Or do you think they came out and said, oh, that's not happening, and then a year from now, they're going to be like, well, that sounded okay.
That's what I think. I always think they throw these things out there just to kind of get the reaction. Well, they got the reaction from me.
Yeah. That's probably exactly why they threw it out there, let it sit for a while, and go, oh, no one likes it. Oh, we'll just debunk it.
So kumbaya, we've got, you know, unity tickets in the work, and Joe Biden is proclaiming lies about the president. He's saying that Trump emboldened white supremacists with messages of comfort and support. No, he didn't. You and our wimpy GOP are the ones emboldening this. Really and truly, Trump condemned both sides. What do you not get about the phrase both sides? What?
Well, that one side is, I agree with that one side, so you can't say that they were bad.
Reuters came out, and this is from Federalist Papers. They're saying that Twitchy came out and saw a tweet from Reuters. The tweet was this: pro-Trump supporters face off with peace activists during protests outside a Trump rally in Phoenix. They were referring to Antifa. So apparently, the tweet's gone. But apparently, according to Twitchy, Reuters came out and called Antifa peace activists.
Yeah, all the destruction.
I just read a press release from Antifa. They are not peace activists.
Not in the slightest.
So apparently, some folks came out and tweeted, you know, blue Reaganite, peace activists, throw urine, slash horses, attack grandma, smash windows, set fires, throw rocks, harass police, shoot congressmen. Mm-hmm. Reuters quickly deleted their tweet after they got called out on this. There were other tweets that came out and called them out. So this is what we're up against. We've got this crazy narrative going on. And stand firm, my friends. Reality is what it is. And this, if it's not Russiagate, it's racism. And we've even got audio of an Antifa supporter admitting that. We're going to play that when we come back. We've got some goofy interviews with Antifa supporters, and I'm going to share that with you for a good laugh and try to bring some humor into this when we come back here on the show. And we're going to talk about the monuments. I want to ask the question. We don't have a lot of time to answer it. How far do we go in defending the monuments? A friend on Facebook asked that question, and I thought, that's a great question for the show. Are you willing to defend the monuments? How far are you willing to go, and which ones? But we'll talk more about that in a minute.
These are the things big media won't tell you.
Trying to make up his own stack, and that is our job.
Yeah.
The Michelle Moran Show.
All right. So I asked the question before we took a break. I wanted to talk about the monuments. We've got people tearing down monuments, and that could be a whole show in and of itself. the question was asked on my Facebook page by a friend. She asked, you know, this kind of brings up the question, you know, it's angering to watch these rowdy, useful idiots pull down monuments that are part of our history. And they're escalating it. Now they're going to, you know, they want to bring down not just Confederate monuments. They want to bring down our founding fathers' monuments. They're also taking down in, where is this, San Domenico School in California. It's a Catholic school. And because they want to be inclusive of all faiths, they're taking down Catholic statues. They want to take down not just Confederate monuments, but... they're talking about taking down Mary and Jesus and other Catholic-oriented statues. Come on.
They're taking down Catholic statues mm-hmm. at a Catholic mm-hmm. school.
Yeah.
Well, then they're just a school then.
Yeah, they are.
I mean, honestly, if you're going to start taking away your Catholic
just take away
imaging,
Catholic.
Then just get rid of all of it.
And that's the point.
That is
the left's point. Here's one that really got me going. The Jefferson Memorial, if just to divert here, if you haven't been to D.C., get there and see these beautiful memorials that are there before the left ruins them.
Well, you're racist.
Now I'm being set up. And they're fabulous. D.C. is a wonderful place to be outside of the political environment. But now the Jefferson Memorial is going to receive an update that reflects the complexity of his status as a founder of the United States and as a slaveholder. So, you know, my take on that is, fine. You want to pull out the dirty laundry of our founders. That's fine. As long as everyone who supports that idea, every bureaucrat, every punk leftist who wants that idea... I support that as long as in your front yard, we can put up a memorial that doesn't go away, that airs your dirty laundry. And when you pass on your gravesite, I want your dirty laundry aired there too. I'm fine with it as long as you who support this are willing to do that too. That's what it comes down to. And it's a lack of understanding of what our founders, what they stood for, what they went through, what kind of men they were. And I've said it before, these men, in their efforts to get out from under the tyranny of England, and when they were writing their documents, writing the Declaration of Independence, going through and figuring out human nature so they could put together a constitution and a republic that kept tyranny from forming as best as they could, they realized that as slave owners, they were wrong. They realized it, and they started admitting it. Jefferson did admit it, and Jefferson became one of the leaders in the cause to end slavery. But regardless, I just wanted to kind of make that point. All these pious people, you know, throwing out the race card, wanting to desecrate our founders, wanting to desecrate our founding, wanting to desecrate the most exceptional nation in history, you know, they're so eager to throw out the dirty laundry of all the people they hate. That's fine. We're just going to, you know, fair is fair. I'm going to air their dirty laundry, too. And I know it's there because everybody's got it. So that's just kind of a little rant that I've gone on this week. It just bugs me. Respect the dead. Respect those who formed this most exceptional nation. And educate yourself and quit calling everybody a racist. But anyway, I wanted to read from the CNN article. I mentioned it earlier. This is kind of funny. CNN came out on Monday morning and wrote a little article. The title is called The Solar Eclipse is Here. I'm just going to read the first two little paragraphs. Quote, "It's not fake news. It's good news. It's a story that could eclipse all other stories. There's no way you can stop today's total solar eclipse from happening. It's celestial. We have no control over it. The only way to stop it would be to extinguish the sun or knock the moon or Earth out of orbit." And it goes on and talks about the eclipse. I thought the whole tone of that intro was very revealing. First of all, they're admitting that they are the purveyor of fake news. And this time they couldn't, you know, this wasn't fake. And it's funny they said you can't stop the eclipse from happening. You'd have to extinguish the sun or knock out the moon or Earth out of orbit. To me, it's kind of saying, you know, you guys, we really don't have control over the climate. It, you know, the left is constantly contradicting themselves, but no matter. All right. So, golly, we've got Arpaio. We've got Venezuela. It's so bad over there right now, and I've got audio to share with you, and we can't play the audio. Okay, I'm going to tell you a little bit about Venezuela and tell you why you want to go to the KVOR website and go to my page and go look at the podcast, because I'm going to expound upon this in the After Hours podcast when we finish up here tonight. Venezuela is so bad that there's no formula for the infants. So mothers try to nurse their babies, and the mothers are so malnourished that they can't nurse them. So they're turning to donkey's milk and goat's milk in Venezuela to feed their poor babies. And prostitution's making a comeback, and it's a horrible, horrible catastrophe over there. And I've got audio of millennials in our country saying that's okay. They would rather have the equality of income that's in Venezuela, regardless of the conditions, than the unfairness that's here in this wonderful country. People are crazy, I'm telling you. But I'm here every Sunday, 9 to 11 p.m. Tune in, come back, join me, because I'm going to keep us grounded in reality, and we are going to stand firm in these crazy times and outlast it, because facts are very stubborn things here on AM 740 KVOR. I'm Michelle Morin. Have a wonderful week. I'm signing off.